And now let's get to the lesson. I want to ask you a question. Why were you born? Ever think about that? I'm not asking about your mom and your daddy. That's not what I'm talking about. Why are you here? Why did God put you on this earth? And I hope when we get to the end of that lesson, we'll have some understanding of the exact reason as to why we were born. You know, isn't it true and obviously true that God has a reason for all of His actions? You think about that. Does God ever do anything by happenstance? Does He ever just think, well, I don't know what I'm going to do about this? Or is it not true as we look at the big picture to understand that God has a reason for everything that's happened on this earth? You know that part of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 that talks about a time to be born, a time to die, and a time to weep, and a time to rejoice, a time to laugh. You know how that begins? For everything. You hear that? For everything, there's a season and a time for every purpose on this earth. And then that rest of that of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 lists all of those things. That they're not just happenstance. There's a time for this and a time for that and the introduction of that and a time for every purpose under heaven. Let's develop this by asking you for a moment to consider the creation of the world. Why is it here? Look back in times past and think about how men in ancient days would have looked at the creation. Sometimes when I come on something like Niagara Falls, the waterfall, I think about the first Indian that ever saw that. Wonder what he thought. The first man to ever, see some of those marvelous things that are in this world. Wonder what he thought about it when he saw it. Now, you and I have some appreciation of the fact that the Bible talks about the voice of God being like the voice of might of many waters, of that mighty roaring of the waterfall. Well, that ancient man, when he saw all of these things, wonder what he thought. When he heard lightning for the first time, whenever he heard the thunder for the very first time, wonder what his imagination was. And if you begin thinking about paganism and the God of thunder and the God of lightning and the sun God and the moon God, do you ever consider the name of this day? Today is Sun Day. And tomorrow will be Moon Day. Wonder where all of that comes from. It comes from the fact that in ancient times people would look at all of the things that are here and they did not look inward in and of themselves. They began to look in another way, did they not? And think of the creation of God not as ancient man looks at it, but as the way you and I look at it. The Hubble telescope has given us a side of the heavens that's absolutely unbelievable. And there's a side on the internet that talks about the 10 greatest photographs the Hubble telescope ever made. And you stop and you begin to look at all of these and just go ahead and put them in there in a progressive way. Look at all of these things that are there. And all of a sudden we look at all of these things and we can't even see it with our eye, but we make this Hubble telescope and we put it up there in space and we look out and here are these things that are millions, billions, light years, hundreds of light years across, thousands of light years across, and we wonder, why is that there? Why did God make that? What is the purpose of His making all of that? You stand in awe and you begin to look at these things and you think, where did all of these come from? What's the purpose of all of these things that are there? We can't see them with the eye, but God has put them there so that when scientists and astronomers look out, why are they there? Ancient man saw the waterfall, and we see the heavens. Why are they there? I'll tell you something that is exciting, is to wonder what kind of things are still out there we haven't seen. Young people, you'll live a lot longer than I have. You're going to be able, if science progresses, to see things far more marvelous than this. And one of the things I hate about dying is the fact that I will not be able to see that. But you know it's there, right? You know we haven't seen it all, do you not? Why is it all there? The Bible answers that. The Bible answers that. Why? He answers the question, why? Why was the world made? You know what the evidence is? The answer to that is? You know this verse. The heavens declare His glory. And I want you and the rest of this lesson today, hear the word glory. In years past, I've given words to little children. Parents would come to me and say, give me a word that my child could listen for and see how many times it's used in the rest in this sermon. And you might want to do that with the word glory if you're bored and haven't got anything else to do. Count how many times the word glory is found, not just from my lips, but how many times the word glory is used by God. The heavens declare His glory, and the firmament, that which we see on this earth, the firmament shows His handiwork. And what about Psalms 8 and verse 1? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth, who has set Your glories in the heavens. Where is it? In the heavens. I know why He made the world, don't you? I'm not in the position of that individual who saw a waterfall for the first time, or heard the first thunder, or saw the first lightning. I'm not in the position of that individual. I know why God made that. To manifest His glory. We haven't answered the question. Why did He make you? But I know why He made the world. But consider mankind. Why did God make Adam? Why did God make Noah and Abraham and Jacob and David and Solomon? What purpose did God have in mind when He came to Abraham and He said to Abraham, I'm going to make of you a great nation? Why? Why did God make Israel? There's all of those stories in the Old Testament. The last 38 books of the Old Testament discuss God and Israel, the nation of Israel. Why do we have all of that? Why did God do all of the things that are involved in that? And the Bible comes back and answers that. Listen to Isaiah chapter 46, verse 13. I bring my righteousness now, it shall not be far off. My salvation shall not linger, and I will place my salvation in Zion, for Israel is my glory. Would you underline that? What's it all about? What's that temple all about? What's that throne of David all about? What is that providence in that promised land that flowed with milk and honey? Why? Why is that all on this earth? Why did it ever happen? And the answer is, Israel was made for my glory. But tragically, Israel failed to show His glory. He said of Israel, you're to be my servant. You're to be the light in the world. And by that He says a similar thing to us, does He not, in the New Testament? And yet the Bible says in reference to that Jewish nation that because of you the name of God is blasphemed. He created the world so men could see His glory. And He chose the nation of Israel. And they failed The heavens declare the glory of God. And God's purpose was in Israel to bring about that which would glorify Him, and Israel failed. Let me ask another why question. Why did He make you? What is your purpose for being on this earth? Why were you born? Why were you born? We don't have time to look at that scripture reference that was read from Ephesians chapter 1, but the earlier verses, right before those verses that were read, said He predestinated us. Before the world began, God had something in mind, and He predestinated us, and we were chosen in Him. And three times in that paragraph in Ephesians chapter 1, the answer comes back, "For my glory, for my glory, for my glory." Why were you born? Why did God make Adam? Why did God make Abraham? Why did God make every person on this earth? Why did God make Judas? Why did He make King Ahab? When those babies came out of the womb. Why? Here it is in one verse. "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory." Why did He make you? Why are you on this earth? I know why He made the sun and the moon and the stars and all the galaxies and that are in the heavens. Those that are discovered and those that yet will be discovered. I know why He made the animals that are on this earth. I know. But why did God make me? Why did He make you? Why were you born? I created Him for my glory. And in a prophetic way, in Isaiah 62 verse 3, we looked last week at 62 verse 2 that talked about, "I will give them that new name." Remember the lesson last week, the name Christian? The very next verse, having said, "I will call them by a new name, they will be Christian." He says to those who will be Christians, "You shall be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God." Brother and sister in Christ, young people, those who are older, listen. In the hand of God, there's a crown, there's a diadem, and it is to be placed upon the head of the Creator of the world. Do you know who that crown is? And figuratively speaking, when He ascended on high and when He arrived into heaven, and a crown of glory was placed on the King of Kings. Do you know what that crown is? It's you. And so the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, "To Him be glory." And you see the word glory again and again in this lesson. "To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." The heavens declares glory. But you were born for the express purpose of glorifying God. What's on your bucket list? On that list of things that you want to accomplish before you die, what's on that list? And so a young person in their teen years says, "This is what I want to accomplish in my life." And nothing wrong with doing that. But spiritually, when you're drawing your last breath, have you done what He wanted you to do? "Well, I want to make a lot of money." nothing wrong with having money. Abraham was rich, Job was rich, David was rich, Solomon were rich. And at times in their life, all of these men were righteous and holy. I want to see the world. I want to travel the world. I want to get a lot of education. I want to have fun. And young people and young adults, is that not one of the real problems that you face right now in your life? Of everybody having fun around you and doing stuff and going and this and seeing that and doing all the rest? But hear me. That is not why He created you. So the question is, if He created me for His glory, how do I fulfill that purpose? How do I bring glory to God? In a general way, look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. You know this verse. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your goodness and praise you to high heaven because you're such a godly person. No. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father. Why were you born? Why are you living this day? What purpose does God want you to accomplish this day? There it is. To bring glory to God because you've been in the presence of Jesus and it's manifested in His life. How do we bring glory? Listen to this in reference to evangelism and talking to others. Psalms 96 verse 3, declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all of the people. Why am I here? As one who's been created for the glory of God to be an avenue by which that individual who sees the wonders of heaven and sees the waterfall and the lightning and hears the thunder and sees and knows there is a God by all of the things that are made, but by nature he can only learn there is a supreme being. But it is only by the revelation of God given in His people that he can know who God is and what God expects them to do. Declare His glory. And then in John chapter 15, I'm the vine and you're the branches. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you'll be my disciples. He created us to bear the fruits of righteousness in our lives. I was amazed as this lesson developed of how often in the 345 verses in the Bible that has the word glory in it, how often it talked about worshiping God brings glory to God. Let's spend a few minutes looking at it. He created me for His glory that I might worship Him. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. How do I bring glory to God? By worshiping Him. And then as you began to look at specific acts of worship, the very things that we do whenever we assemble together. Look at the matter of the contribution in our day and the counterpart in the Old Testament whenever the Bible says, give to the Lord the glory due His name. There it is again. The glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. When we gave a few moments ago, That man in the Old Testament spent time feeding those animals, taking care of that sheep or that lamb. And when he came to worship God, to give God a thanksgiving offering, a peace offering that was designed not for sin, but to bring thanks to God and to manifest thanks to God, he brought that which he had made with his own hands and laid that animal there. And it was a manifestation of the fact, I've devoted all of this time, and now I'm taking this part of my life as seen in this animal, and I'm giving it up to God. And people who know me see that I'm giving and bringing glory to God. Folks, there's hardly any difference at all between that. The labors of that individual who was raising those sheep, and the labors that you do in whatever workplace in which you find yourself, and you bring the fruit of that, not an animal, but you bring the monetary equivalent of those hours of your life, and you bring it and you give it to God. And when you give to God, God is glorified. Why was I born? I was born that I might give glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11 says that the very design of teaching and preaching is designed to bring glory to God. You know the first part of that verse. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. The latter part of that verse has the word glory in it. For it says, if anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. You understand, when you're talking to others about the Lord, when you're teaching Bible classes, whenever you're having conversations with friends and trying to give counsel and advice, and you say, this is what the Bible says, that you're bringing glory and honor to God, that in everything you may glorify God. But look again. In reference to the matter of our singing. Gary, I don't believe there could have been a better time to talk about this than this morning when we have sung so fervently from our hearts. Look at singing in relationship to this. Psalms 138 verse 5. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of our Lord. We have glorified God, and it is well with my soul. We have glorified God because God is love, God is love, God is love. We have glorified God, because not just with our throats, some noise has come out as some sort of mechanical thing has happened, but from our very souls. We sang, and we sang it because we meant it with every fiber of our being. There is a God. He is alive. In Him we move and we survive. There is a God, the great I Am. And as we sang it, God was glorified. That's why God made us. There's not a thing that'll happen in your life any more important than the very things that we've done this morning. We're here to glorify God, and we glorify Him as we sing. Sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Psalm 148:13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. And then even outside of the assembly, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing out loud on their beds. So if you can't sleep tonight, and your husband's sound asleep, just break out in a chorus and see how that fits. You know what that means, though? Morning, noon, and evening. My life is designed to bring glory to His name. And then listen to this. Sing, O heavens, Isaiah 44. Sing, the heavens. Perhaps even talking about some of those galaxies that we've looked at in a poetical way. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth in singing, ye mountains, O forest, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorified Himself in Israel. If God glorified Himself in Israel, how much more has He glorified Himself in the church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ? Glorify His name, all of the creation of God. Let them praises give Jehovah. Psalm 148. And His glory is exalted. And His glory is exalted. And all of the creation is called upon to glorify God. Do you understand what happens when we glorify God in songs? While we were singing right now, the heavens were filled with angelic creatures saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And all of creation, the sun and the moon and the mountains and the stars and the valleys and the sea and all that is in the sea, shouted out and praised the glory of God. Do you know why God created me? Do you know why we were born? Do you know why He created you? So that on this earth He'd have those people, not those people who want to spit in the face of God and mock God and walk away from God and live in immorality and ungodly and be involved in vulgarity and lasciviousness and everything. He put on this earth a sanctified people so that we with pure hearts can worship God in the beauty of holiness. Listen to the closing book of the Bible. In Revelation 4, John saw God on a throne. In chapter 5, he sees Jesus. And when the Lamb of God is announced to all of those in heaven, chapter 5, verse 9 says, they started singing. And they sang a new song. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. You were slain and you've redeemed us to God by your blood. Folks, that's the song of our hearts. Worthy art thou. Why? For you have redeemed us to God by the blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and you've made us kings and priests to our gods, and we shall reign on this earth. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, living creatures, angelic, heavenly beings, and the elders, the 24 elders on their throne. And the number of them, of those who were there, the others, 10,000 times, 10,000 and thousands of thousands. How many angels are there? Myriads of angels. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. And what are they doing? Singing a new song. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. Worthy art thou, worthy art thou to receive glory and honor and power. Worthy art thou. And every creature in heaven, and every creature on the earth and under the earth. Every animal, all of the entirety of God's creation in the heavens and on the earth and in the depths of the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard them saying, blessings and honor and glory and power be to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and forever. Who's missing in that number? Atheists, pagans, Muslims, Buddhists. Who's missing in that number? Most of the people in America. And who's missing in that number? Some Christians who thinks there are things more important than fulfilling the purpose for which they were made. Show me the verse that says I have to come on Sunday night or Wednesday night. Show me the verse that gives you the right not to fulfill your purpose. I was created to bring glory to Him, and the fruits of my lips coming from the melody that's in my heart. I was created for the express purpose of bringing glory to His name. And folks, if that doesn't change you when you sit in here and we sing, if that doesn't change you whenever we commune around this table, if that doesn't change you whenever you give, if that doesn't change you whenever you pray, if that doesn't change you when we join our voices in song and we worship God and listen to the preaching of God, wake up! You are not created for your own purpose. The stars have the course on which they travel in the universe of God. And the planets have their orbit around the sun. And you and I were created with a course, with an orbit. And at the end of our lives, God help us. God help us. To look back and said, I have fulfilled my purpose. I've brought glory to God. There's not a whole lot of difference in the heart of the Muslim who has no desire to worship Jehovah God and the Christian who is indifferent when it comes to worshiping God. Why were you born? What's on your bucket list? Number one item, to praise and to bring glory and honor to God. But you can't do that if you're not a Christian. You need to bring glory to Him by believing in Him, believing that He is the Son of God, by repenting of your sins. That's what Luke 13:3 says. By confessing your faith in Jesus and by being immersed in water, that your sins might be washed away, and then with a holy heart and pure hands, you can praise and glorify God, for that's your purpose. You're in His family, in His kingdom. And to those of us who are in His kingdom, He says, now you be full of faith. You know what that means? you live a life that fulfills its express purpose of glorifying God and bringing glory and honor to God. How can we help you in your spiritual walk? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?